Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 530-710-0765. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
By the way, you can always hear our show in the archives at freefireradio.com. So if for some reason you've missed something, or it'll always be there. So welcome to our website. Yeah. Welcome to our show.
Plus, in fact, Fred here puts our puts excerpts of the show up on YouTube. We've been getting a lot of comments on on certain shows, on all the shows. But one of them, of course, was the medicinal marijuana show that's got a number of comments on it, and
which is smoking
personal attacks on other people that were in it, but not on us.
Okay.
And then we also have in our archives when with Fred's help, he then puts the whole show up. In the near future here, we're going to be having people running for office that will have a chance to question, and people can ask them questions, and you'll have that in the archives plus the video of it. In fact, we have some of the people running for office right now. Ron Largent will be our guest here before the election.
Yay, Ron.
So we'll be
Welcome.
Talking about it. Welcome to Ron.
Well, earlier, before we did that wonderful introduction music, we were talking about theft and what happens. And what we've experienced that, it's not only here in the North State, but it's Christmas time. A couple of things we want to just, put that little tidbit of information for you to keep in your file is, don't leave your pets in the car, even though they say at summertime, don't put them in there, because I know we have a little beautiful toy dog. We love her, and we want to take her with us everywhere. But at Christmas time, especially during the holidays, people break into your cars and steal things that look cute for whatever reason. So just don't do it as much as you want to bring them, because that happens. And what's happened 3 years in a row here?
Yeah, this is one of the subjects we want to talk about. Is for 3 years in a row since we've been here, a charity has had their warehouse broken into. Somebody needs to explain this one to me. The one, I think, the United Bikers of Northern California, which are not like a nice group of people sometimes, they broke into theirs and took all their toys. Showed a certain lack of intelligence on their part, but I think they may have even gotten away with it. Then there was another toy group that got broken into and their stuff was taken. I'm not sure which one that was. But I know it's happened the last couple of years. And then this time, Christmas for the troops. I'm trying to understand the people are being targeted, because according to Rob Burrows, who had the warehouse, 26 warehouses were there. And theirs was the only one broken into.
Now, the thing that concerns us, of course, is the negative blogging that follows a news story like this. The negative blogging that is, this was an inside job, they did this because they wanted to get more stuff. And, I just don't, again, it helped me understand how people would think that people would want to steal a compressor and a toy, a blow-up toy soldier, in the same, experience of stealing. But anyway, to not start off on a negative note, we just wanted to bring that up to you, that's so you know that none of the donations for the soldiers and are deployed, none of that was stolen.
And so we're going to be putting 250 packages together, and we're going to need a lot of help. And it looks like we've got a lot of tickets sold for that.
Now, you had a couple other things that you wanted to discuss today, and we're going to work the floor, too. So if you have comments, one of the things that we like to do is here on Free Fire Radio is give you a voice. If you've got something that's, like Carl used to say, up your craw,
it's not really up your craw.
On your craw?
In your craw.
In your craw.
Because if you put it up your craw, it's a whole new connotation to me. I mean,
Well, maybe sometimes it gets up your craw.
Well, we do. We have a number of, some people have already mentioned some things out in the audience, and we will be talking about that. One of the things I wanted to talk about, and think of this as an open line show, because today, if you've got something you want to talk about, this is the time to do it, and it's going to go out to a lot of people. So, and we'll get out there to you. Now, the one thing that I want to discuss right now is, last year there was a tragedy, terrible tragedy. A young girl named Shelby Allen died. She died from taking 15 or 16 shots of vodka. She weighed 105 pounds. and she died. She died of alcohol poisoning. At some point around the tenth drink, she was dead. I mean, would have been, and she went five more. That evening, there was other people around her. She was at a friend's house, and the parents were upstairs sleeping during this thing. And she was propped up in the bathroom and left in there. So she's propped up, so if she threw up, she wouldn't, swallow it, I guess. There was the young girls that were there knew that there was something, that she was, sick, but probably did not understand maybe the consequences of drinking this much. Anyway, at some point, Shelby died. Her parents have started the Shelby Allen Foundation and are going out to try to educate people on teenage drinking and how at a certain point, no matter how big you are or how small you are, at a certain point, you're going to die if you've taken too much. And what do you do if something happens? And the big thing was you need to tell somebody. Well, of course, there's a horrible aftermath of the young girl dying. But then charges were filed against the 16-year-old by our district attorney, Jerry Benito, for involuntary manslaughter. And you can imagine the firestorm. Why are you charging a 16-year-old person for manslaughter for this? And we had Jerry on the show and asked him. He said, well, there are things going to come out, that people are not, that are not privy to. Things like, from what I understand, there was some texting being done on the girl's phone. It wasn't like that nobody was going in there, just nothing was being said. So yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, all charges were dropped against this young lady. She's 16 years old when it happened. I guess she's 17 now. All charges were dropped by the judge. And my comment on this is, why did it go to trial? Was there anything there that anybody saw that why it should go on to trial? And instead of being considered this horrible tragedy, I'm not even going to address civil charges or civil trials, because that's going to happen. But does anybody out here have an idea why we might have gone to a criminal trial on something like this? Okay. Joe. No, I know that, but your comments to this one.
Probably setting an example for teenagers how serious the product is when they overabuse alcohol would be my guess. I can't think of any other reason off the top of my head.
Well, the other thing along the lines with that is that binge drinking has become quite the phenomenon, and you've heard about it not only through this being so topical and so current with our North State, but also how many times have you heard of college students, frat houses, and so every now and then, on some strange level, it is a big bell, it's a big warning sign, it's a big, clearing of the window about how binge drinking can kill you. It's not just a night of partying. It's heavy duty, serious, you're dead.
So how many people in our audience today have drank enough to throw up? To get nauseous and do that. Okay, it only takes one for some people. Did you raise your hand, honey?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, just want to make sure.
How many people here worship now, the porcelain goddess?
Okay. Now, here's what it is. Here's that. Binge drinking has become a big problem. I think everybody's been reading about that. And they're drinking younger, and they're drinking more. The fact is that they're getting booze from their parents without the parents knowing it, or in some cases, the parents do know it. Oh, but we want to teach them how to drink responsibly in our house. Well, okay. But I think that they're one of the problems is that once they've learned to drink, and the parents aren't there, maybe it's not so responsible anymore.
Well, Carl, during the course of our radio experiences, we had Shelby Lynn's our Shelby's parents on, correct? Yes. And then along the lines of what we felt that could have been tried wrong or mistrials or, you know, something that we felt was kind of unjust for the families was somebody else during that time that also was that many of our listeners thought was, what was it? Benito didn't necessarily draw the right card on that one. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, that would be Adam Martinez. And the Adam Martinez case was a young man that was in, I think it was Club Ice. He was talking to a woman, and whether he was touching her or not, it was not clear. The girl's boyfriend came up and hit Martinez. Martinez dropped to the ground and died. He hit his head on the concrete floor and died. And there were no charges for that. It was called self-defense. And that was the real big one that came through. He was Benito's office was charging the 16-year-old with manslaughter, and yet the other person not. But going back to the Shelby case is, at what point do we need to take responsibility for those who are doing things that are going to cause them harm? Is there a spot there that she should have taken responsibility for her friend? Ron Largent.
Well, this obviously is a very, very politically heated issue right now. There's no question about it. And I think that the dilemma that I found when I first heard the announcement last night was I think Jerry Benito was between a rock and a hard place. I think he was going to be damned if he did, and he was going to be damned if he didn't. And I think probably what happened was that there was enough evidence presented to him that he felt that he had a case to present on up the to the courts. I know Jerry, and I don't think he would have done this had there not been enough evidence to at least give him some indication that this should be presented. The flip side is if he had not done this, what would be the consequences? So it goes through the court system, which is really the way our system is set up. And a judge, an independent judge, heard the case, all sides of it, and ruled accordingly. And I think that's probably the way it should be. Whether you agree or disagree with the judge's decision is not the issue. What I think is important is that the process worked. And whether we think that it should not have been prosecuted or should have been prosecuted, it's probably not our call. We elect a district attorney to represent us. And if we don't agree with that district attorney, we have a choice to elect someone else. But I had an occasion to live in the Phoenix area for a while, and I got to be a little involved with Joe Arpaio. And one time I went to a briefing that he had with a number of civic leaders, and he said, you know, I'm always faced with, do I do it or do I not do it when it comes to prisoners? And he said, that's a hard call, but he said, the people have put their faith and trust in me, so I'm going to do the best that I think I can do. And I think that's kind of where Jerry was. I didn't feel right last night when I saw and read some of the negative comments. I don't agree with the negative comments that are allowed on the internet, on the blogging, and I've conveyed that to the editors of the paper. But again, I think we have to have respect for the position that Jerry's in. I happen to know the Shelby family. They're a lovely family, and their cause is great right now, and that is one of educating the public as to the dangers of teenage drinking, and bless their hearts, it's been a tough one for them. It's been a tough one. There's no winners in this thing. I think the winner is that we are getting a program that's going to educate others to prevent this kind of thing from happening. But you know, it's one of those calls. Like I said earlier, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. But I just wanted to add that, Carl.
Well, thanks, Ron. And it's you're right. He was in a tough situation, but then they're getting paid to do that, right? And there's a big part here is if you don't agree with it, then when it comes to election time, which is this year, you can make that change.
Can I just bring something up?
Sure.
That is along what popped into my head that's along those lines, but it's something that's, you know, more of a world-based situation that's happening right now. When you say, I have to go here, When you say we got to trust the system, Carl, I'm going to ask you to jump in here and help me with this, because I don't know about you, but I have a hard time with the terrorists being tried in New York City. I don't know. I think maybe we should take the floor and tell me what you think about that. I just have this woo, this wave that came over me about what it is to trust the system. I don't know why I feel weird about this, but am I the only one that feels weird about this?
No. Okay, and that's a good point, because we talk about trusting the system, which led us to this, that at what point in combat do you give the Miranda rights? Bruce, how many times did you give the Miranda rights in Vietnam?
After they were dead.
You have the right not to hurt me anymore, because I just shot you 12 times with 5.56. They have, by the way, they've been given the word, and not in every case, but the Miranda rights have been given in Afghanistan. Uncertain, yeah, this is true. What I understand Mr. Holder wants to do in the administration, I shouldn't say Mr. Holder, this is the Obama administration. You will see Obama say, this is the Attorney General, do this. No, don't ever make that mistake. Everything is being run by the President, his Chief Executive Officer, Rambo Emanuel, and that inner circle he's got. So don't think that this is just a big surprise. It's like the war against Fox, you know, when it started out with a communication director. And somebody asked her a direct question, finally, does President Obama, did he know you were going to say that? And she said, nothing goes on that everybody doesn't know about. So, you know, he knew it. And I'm not smacking, you know, President Obama about this. I'm just saying is when you hear Holder's name, just think Obama. Because that's the way it is. He's the one that gets the final say on this. So we're going to take people that are terrorists we've had in Guantanamo Bay, and we're going to put them on trial in New York City. As been pointed out, we've put other people on trial in New York, and they have been found guilty, other terrorist types. Some have probably been found not guilty. But what I'm seeing here is when you ask the question, what if they're, you know, President Obama has already said, we're going to put him on trial and find him guilty. Now, if I'm not a lawyer, I can't be a lawyer. My parents were married. Just a little bit of humor there for any lawyers are out there. Okay. The point is that when he says that, if I'm a lawyer, that right there is a big flag. Oh, the President of the United States said he was guilty. And then another statement I saw was, well, what if they're found not guilty? Well, the answer to that was, well, they're not going to be released. Well, if they're not going to be released, then why put them on trial? I mean, does that make sense? Did anybody else hear that? Okay. Now, let's hear some comments, you know, just from our audience here.
Yeah, I think my comment is that they're not putting the terrorists on trial. They're putting the Bush administration on trial. Dick Cheney, that's what they're doing. That's the only reason I can see for this. Why else would they even want to do this? And they're looking for some way to cover up the disaster they have created with this money they have spent. No one knows where it went to. I think this is all cover-up, this whole trial thing. That's the only reason I can see it's going on.
Well, you know, they said that Guantanamo Bay is going to be closed in 2010, right? January of 2010. If you notice, who just got fired out of the White House? It was the gentleman that was heading up Guantanamo Bay. The closure of Guantanamo Bay was just fired. So that's not working too well. So you're saying this is just going to be a way of putting Bush and Cheney on trial. Now, let me ask a question again. I'm not a lawyer, but if you got part of your information because I poured water down your face, is that allowable in court? That's just a question.
Well, I agree with the man over here, but one more thing I thought, most of these lawyers now would be taken out of the military and tried in the civil or criminal court. All these Democrat lawyers will be having jobs for years. And then they can give more money to the Obama administration.
Okay, that's one way of putting it. Okay, so
Do we have any more comments from the floor regarding, feelings on, and help me understand, Carl and anybody in the House, are we trying in New York because the act happened in New York? Is that why we're trying in New York?
That's the reason, because they can try them anywhere, because, you know, it's wherever they arrive back into the states. But ideally, this is funny. I think it's some kind of show trial they want to do because, hey, we're going to put these people on trial right in the center of where they attacked. You know, again, if you're a defense attorney, one of the things I'd look at is, can I get a fair trial in New York for people that blew up the World Trade Center?
Well, this is going to sound a little harsh, perhaps, but we are at war with combatants who don't deserve the rights of the Geneva Convention. They don't follow the laws. They do attack civilians. They are terrorists. They don't deserve the privileges and the rights of our justice system. And they need to be tried in a military tribunal because that's where their acts were committed. If they come to the United States and we treat them as we treat our own citizens, you are not guilty until we prove that you're guilty. They're going to have the ability to take the Fifth. They're going to have the ability to have evidence that we've obtained militarily not be admissible in court, because under the justice system for our civilians, you have to follow certain procedures to be able to get evidence. Those procedures aren't followed in the military for a reason. You don't have time. You've got a gun in your face. You have to take radical actions, and we have to respect our leaders in the field and in Iraq and in Afghanistan because they know what they're doing. When we bring it here, it's just going to become a muddled mess. It will be a circus. And this is exactly what the terrorists want. They're celebrating. They will be dancing in the streets when this happens because it's going to make a mockery of our justice system.
And I'm wondering, thank you so much for that comment.
That was Elena. Thank you very much.
And I think, I wonder, do we see anything on the news about what does this do to the morale of our troops that are serving our country in Afghanistan and other places in the world, that the terrorists that come over here and bomb 3,000 people, kill 3,000 people, are now getting to go through the legal system? Something is just... Anyway, I'm sure I'd love to see how they feel. Let's do an interview on how they feel.
Well, and another comment is how much stuff is going to be released? How much information is going to be released to the defense attorneys about how, one, they were taken, two, the methods to do it, the people involved with it? Because some of these people were given up by members probably within the organizations that are still in their organizations. So how much is the government going to give these people? You talk about the guys that they put on trial that did the first attack on the World Trade Center, by the way, back in 93, they were put in jail, but they were homegrown right here types, not ones we've captured on battlefield someplace, and now given the rights of the people in this room that were born and raised in the United States. Maybe you fought for this country. Now a terrorist that kills innocent people and is a terrorist is given those same rights, just as you said. I find this reprehensible, how they could even be thinking of this.
I think there's two other things amazes me is that you look at this and you see, we're actually granting them citizenship to some degree by saying, hey, come here and have them tried here. Can you imagine that? We're doing that for terrorists. My other question basically is this, we have to consider. Recently, Obama said twice in a speech that this is not a Christian nation anymore. So is he trying to prove that we're not at war with Islam, which was his other statement in the same speech, that we are not now and never will be at war with Islam? But aren't they at war with us? Yes. And so does that not make us at war with those people who are at war with us? And so you have to think about that. Okay, so where's the citizenship? Now we're giving citizenship to these people so that we can try them? It doesn't make sense, does it?
And like's been stated, we've given them de facto citizenship and the rights to be tried by a jury of their peers. Does that mean that we use the terrorists that are in Guantanamo for the jury?
There are so many... you know.
Oh, good. We're starting to get some good juice.
Okay,
now.
Quit bringing up common sense again. Okay.
There's one other thing by not trying them in the military is that if they go to civilian court, they can refuse legal aid. If they refuse legal aid, they can represent themselves. That means the information from the CIA, FBI, Interpol, and every other investigative body around the world that's been working on this war will have to turn the information directly over to Al-Qaeda and the rest of the terrorists. It's really going to be a mess.
I think there will be a point where they, you know, they're going to, they'll sensitize it, and I mean, they just will. I mean, they'll sense. I mean, they'll take a lot out. They'll censor a lot of it, and
it's called the spin. Well, they'll spin it to make it work for the situation.
Well, yeah, but for the material will be really looked at and. But still, then at that point, you say, well, wait a minute, I don't have everything to my access for my defense. But we go back to that one statement that was made was, well, even if they're found, well, even if they're, because it was asked to a holder, I think by Lindsey Graham or somebody during this, what if they're found not guilty? Well, they're still not going to be released. If that statement is true, then why are we putting ourselves through this? Do we want to flagellate ourselves in public again? That we are, you know, oh, you know, it's people respect us for doing this. I got news for you. The people we're fighting are having a field day over this. They're not going to respect us if we build a mosque in every neighborhood. And you know, I don't mean to say that in a bad sense, but the ones that are coming after us, it doesn't make any difference what we do. It does not make any difference. Is it going to make a difference to the millions and millions of peaceful Muslims that are not fighting us right now? I don't know. I think that's the other side to it. That's what they're saying. Oh, if we show how fair we are. I just know one thing is that people respect strength in the Middle East. And when you start trying to be too nice to people, they're going to take advantage of it.
I think we have another question here on the floor.
Yeah, I think this is going to be it's not going to be a reaction to our normal criminal element, like the rapist or the murderer. I think this is going to be overwhelmingly reactionary, and I do believe that there will be terrorist bombers strapped with bombs. They'll be walking into a cafe in New York one day, and just for an example, boom. You're going to see it time and time again, and they'll hit sporadically, but it will increase because these people don't care if they're found guilty or not guilty. They're going to respond to the Muslim terrorist opinion and attitude.
As we just found about a Muslim attack in Fort Hood, Texas, and I think
like
people are getting
Hood.
More...
Like Fort
yeah,
Hood.
Fort Hood. And... Did I say Fort Hood? I'm not
yeah,
sure.
That's what
okay,
you said,
but that's what it was. It was a terrorist attack. You can write it any way you want, but that's what happened. And unfortunately, I think maybe Boo's right that try to stop that one person, because if their cells are in here now, if you think they're going to go away because we're putting somebody on trial, what a perfect way to make your point.
Before
you know,
we go,
God forbid anything like this happen.
I'm sorry, but before we go to Roberta, along with those lines, is that we just heard a comment over here, and I'll just pass it along, that this is a new form of jihad, and that through this is someone's comment, that through what happened with Fort Hood is kind of a new way to infiltrate, and that's possibly what, I mean, not to be scare tactic, but what could be happening like with Fort Hood and happening with the upcoming situation in New York.
And also, if I remember right, and I've got to do more research, but I think they just took 4 mosques in New York. They took a mosque and 4 buildings, and the government took them over. And I'm not sure it's because of what was being said in them or for other reasons, but this is something we'll research.
the other problem is, how would you like to be on this jury and think that some of these people are following you home or going to attack your family or blow up your car? This is just way out of sorts that the military, you would have jurors from, you know, New York City trying to sit on here and fight a war. I mean, you're fighting a war, and there's no way that a jury can be part of this war. Also, I heard the president appointed two Muslims for Homeland Security. And so it appears to me there's not a lot of security.
Well, you know, I can, and let me just give a different point of this, that is that not all Muslims are against us. And we have a lot of Muslims in this country that love this country. I think there needs to be a couple more demonstrations of this.
I don't know, but we should have
But this is something, this is another good, you know, we can't, you know, we've, because a person's a Muslim does not mean necessarily that they are against this country. Let me get to him first. Well, it does. Well, they should be against terrorists.
I think we're losing the focus here. Too much on terrorists. And that's the reason they're trying them in New York. How many Muslims in around the world know where Redding, California is? They know where New York is. That made the news. The terrorists, real terrorists, are going to come is when this economy completely falls across the country. That's when you're going to have your neighbors here out with their guns robbing you or robbing people that still got a job. That's where it's coming to. And I think this trial is to take our focus off the economy. And that's our biggest terrorist threat right now is this administration.
Interesting, because of money that we can't, that is not accounted for. I don't know. We promised our listening audience today and our people here we have another question on the floor while we're on this
subject.
I'm
working my way over there with my cord. I feel like
you're whipping everybody
I'm
with
tethered,
that new cord.
I'm tethered here. Okay.
That's a talent we didn't know you had. It's pretty awesome. A couple of things that have come to mind in this conversation. One thing that I've noticed, and this is an underlying thought process that I have in almost all of our current issues, is that there were a lot of mistakes that Bush made. There are a lot of mistakes that President Obama is making. I think we can all agree to disagree on many of those issues. But something that keeps coming to my mind is, when did we stop putting America first? Why are we being so politically sensitive, so politically correct? Why are we as Americans being asked to do everything for everyone else and to be oh so sensitive? And yet President Obama can appoint two Muslims into Homeland Security. Is that not politically insensitive to us? It isn't that I'm discriminating against Muslims. I'm saying if you're asking me to open my arms and my heart, be a little sensitive. Be a little more understanding. Maybe don't push so many buttons. Maybe look to America first. Help us repair our souls, our minds, our hearts before you put us out to the world and start apologizing for who we are. This is bothering me. What's happened at Fort Hood, what bothers me there is that we're so politically correct. We have to be so careful that we weren't allowed to connect the dots. People knew this man was radicalized. He said things. He did things. He made contacts. That, I mean, I can't. I could get pulled over for not having all four tires in the turning lane, and I get a ticket. That happened a long time ago, but it happened. All four tires were not in the turning lane. I got a ticket. Okay, I was like 19 years old. But we can allow a tragedy, a massacre, a murderous spree by somebody who had already indicated to many, many people that his heart was not in the right place. But we didn't say anything because we're afraid. We're afraid of people saying, oh, well, you're a hater. That's all you are. That's not true. We're trying to protect our country. We have an enemy that is seen and unseen. That is disconcerting. We all have to look. And if you have nothing to hide, then you should step forward and say, look at me. If you think I've done something, please look, because I'm here with you Americans. I'm here in America. I love this country. I want to be here. I want to serve in the military. If you have something to hide, you deserve to be looked at, and especially now. And I'm not talking about discrimination. I'm not talking about bias. I'm not talking about the ugly truths of racial profiling that happens all the time and many times is not justified. But I am talking about the reality, which is that we are at war with a group of people who want to kill our children, want to blow up buses, want to strap bombs to themselves, aren't following whatever honor rules there are in war that they are supposed to be, that Americans do try to follow. That's my thoughts on that.
No, thank you. And, you know, it's the rules of war. You know, people say, well, how can war have rules? Well, rules, war has lots of rules, and they should have rules. War is terrible. It would be much more terrible if there were not rules and people that respected life. I know it's, you know, you're saying, well, how can you go to war and respect life? It's easy. I don't know how many times in Iraq that we were taking fire that because, I mean, you could see who was shooting, but because there were innocents around, innocents, our Marines did not return fire. I mean, they had them in their sights, but the people would drop their weapons and get into a crowd. Without that morality, that moral courage, they could have started shooting. They would have gotten the person, but they would have killed 10 or 12 other people too. You know, that's just not the way you do it. The terrorists we're fighting do not have that role. They will kill your children. They'll kill your grandmother. They'll kill your dog. They don't care. And so once we start making, saying that they fall under our rules, our rule of law, they've become citizens in our courts, then we've got some severe problems. The other part is, it's a sideshow that maybe takes our eye off of what our real problem is the economy, the cap and trade that's coming, and we're going to be talking about that here in the future, that could have a huge impact. I mean, you think we're in trouble now, wait till that cap and trade rolls through here. And what about the other things that keep coming in? Now you're starting to hear, you know, with this health care plan, I mean, this thing's not over yet, and it's not going to be over yet.
Okay, we have about 15 minutes left. We're going to go to another question on the floor. But one of the things that we, Carl and I, here at Free Fire Radio and from our hearts, just as individual citizens here and Americans, is that we want to thank you guys for showing up, because what we do need in our world right now is moral courage. We talk about it every day, moral courage. That means showing up. That means voting. That means writing a letter. That means being accountable. And did you want to go back? And we had another question. Ron in the back had another comment on what we were talking about regarding Afghanistan.
Yeah, yeah,
and then we're going to go to Afghanistan.
Okay. But one of the things, it's real important, is it's not enough to just vote. You need to vote. We all need to vote. You know, that's your right, paid for by the blood of many people out there from 1776 on, paid in blood so we can vote, so we can put people in office that agree with us. But in today's world, that's not enough. Maybe it was years ago. In today's world, you've got to stand up and make a stand. You have got to be there, and you've got to have your friends and the people that believe like you be with you and take them with you. Otherwise, There's so much spin and media and everything, is that it'll get lost. Your voice gets lost, which is one of the reasons we have this show, but it's also the reasons for everybody to stand up and be organized. You know, people, tea parties. Hey, I think tea parties are great because the people have stood up and said, we are making a statement here. We are not going to take this, and our friends aren't going to take this. We need to make a change. So, I mean, you can laugh about it, you can call them names, but as far as I'm concerned, it's the movement. It's one of the movements, not the only movement, but it's one of the movements that's going to breed change in our society.
Well, Carl, that was my point I was going to make, and that is, you know, right now we're seeing an active movement in America. And last night, watching the news, after I had been with an American Legion group, which asked me the question, who is at fault for the economic downturn right now? There's a number of factors there. But the reality is right now we're in a situation where people have to speak up. And we're seeing that to a large degree for the first time in many years. We have a Tea Party activity. We have various activities going on. Whether or not you specifically agree with their issues, they are speaking up. Just like in this group right in here, we have different opinions, but we are here. We're trying to make a difference. And that's what I see as exciting about what's going on right now. You know, we have a thing tomorrow, for example, recognizing the fact of the difficulty that the Central Valley farmers are having with water. We should all be concerned about that. It's not an issue that is just to those farmers. It's a principle that we're fighting, and that is that the government can control the individual farmers, which is not the way we believe. And that could happen up here. It has happened to a degree with the spotted owl and that whole issue a number of years ago. But we have to take part of this. We have to buy into it. It's our issue. You probably saw last night, 2,000 pages of the health care. They laid it on one of the senators, and he couldn't even lift it up. He says the encyclopedia is not this big, and yet they're supposed to read this and approve it. We have to object to that. We have to get on the phone. We have to email and whatever we do to our elected representatives and tell them we're not in favor of it. So that's what I see, the good coming out of this, along with the bad. I totally agree with these comments with regards to the terrorists, but I do think our active role right now is critical.
Absolutely. I think everybody that's here agrees with that. But so what we need to do then is share this with our friends and get 1,000 people.
And you
and
know
start
what?
Moving.
This is going to go up on YouTube, a 5-minute segment. And so what we can do from this is, you know, you pass it forward. There's been some very powerful comments that have been made in the room today that are from the hearts of Americans right here in Redding, California, which is our beautiful North State. Over 20,000 veterans plus, I'm sure they're counting, live up here. And we have it's a conservative population, but we call it, the brainiacs and there's two things. Well, don't look at me like that. I can't think. I need you. I'm over 45. Kidding.
So, you know, this is where we sing Silent Night real
yeah.
quick. Okay.
But no, let's finish the last segment of our show with something that we did promise that we were going to talk about, and that is our involvement in Afghanistan.
Okay, first of all, a show of hands, and y'all are going to have to trust me on YouTube and out there listening. How many people really believe that we've got some kind of strategy in Afghanistan? Okay, the response was overwhelmingly zero.
Zero.
Okay. Here's my problem. Back in April or March, sometime in there, President Obama says, we have a strategy. We're implementing this strategy. Well, he hit the ground running. But that's when he was doing, I think it was 2-on-2 basketball. All right. Now, the strategy was there. And then there was not the strategy. Then the general that was there was fired, and they brought in the man, hand-picked, General McChrystal. This general has years, decades in counterinsurgency. He's fought in every place in the world. This man was going there, and now we're going to redo the strategy. Okay, so the strategy comes out. We can make this work, but we're going to need 40,000 more troops on the ground. And the answer to that was, well, let's think about this a little bit. And let's think about it a little bit more. Oh, you sure you need 40,000? I don't know if I like this one. So as of today, and by the way, he had seen General McChrystal once in 60 days or 70 days. He had talked to him one time. Now, this is the man that said, you know, this is the most important war. This is where we need to focus like laser beams in Afghanistan. Okay, now, has there been a decision made? I just missed it in the last few days. No.
I found it interesting this morning, the first time I've ever heard of anything like this from the Pakistani government. I don't know what level of government. But now they're asking the U.S. to reconsider the surge because they're pushing al-Qaeda into the Pakistani portion, and they're sweating it right now. So they're basically against the surge because they don't have the protection, because most of our military would be in Afghanistan. So I don't know what the politics are going to wash out on that one.
You can only make so many trips, Mr. President, and at some point you're going to have to make a decision.
I think the option that he was looking for was let's pull the troops out of Afghanistan, and he didn't get that one. So he went off to China, let everybody else worry about it. We've got people killed in Fort Hood. We've got a failed presidency. If I were the president and that man had pleaded guilty, I would have taken him right to the middle of the Twin Towers and cut his head off like they did the journalist that they did over there. That's what I would have done. That's what an American would have done.
No. You got to stop holding back here on us. The thing is that we as Americans need to be able to make a decision. We need a decision maker. And for somebody to say something as important as this, there were more men and women killed in Afghanistan this week. People said that we did not need the surge. The surge would never work in Iraq. Well, let me tell you, from being there, it worked. It worked big time. It did exactly what we said. I can't tell you how many delegations came through while I was there when we briefed them what was going on. And they said, well, what do you need? And the general said every time, we need more troops on the ground. We own the ground while we're standing there, but as soon as we leave, they come back in. When we surged, we won. And this is what General McChrystal, who is not an idiot, and he knows what has to be done. It's not just going in and hunting them down and killing them. It's putting people on the ground so the villages feel safe, so they can grow, so they can mature, so they can form their own police forces. And the police are the ones the bad guys really are really scared of, because the police know who's supposed to be there, not some troops that are coming in and out of that place.
I'm not sure why they tell me they have all these advanced weapons, and then they show me three people with turbans on their heads with rifles. We pay all this money for all these advanced weapons. What are they doing with them? I would just send them right into North Afghanistan, across to Pakistan, and I'd take care of that mess. I don't care whose feelings I hurt.
You could call that's called in-your-face diplomacy. Right there. If you don't like it, we're going to drop a 500-pound bomb.
Well, this is just speculation, but, you know, you're driving down the road, and it's dusk, and you come around the corner, and there's a deer in the road, and they freeze. Deer in the headlights. That's President Obama. Right now, our country is divided 50-50. And what he really does seem to care about, and I'm not bashing him, this is a true thing that I think, his persona, his image is more important to him than our country. So if he commits more troops, half the country is going to hate him. If he doesn't commit the troops, half the country is going to hate him. Well, half of us hate him already, and half of us love him already. So what does he have to lose except American lives? What is the priority? We are losing American lives every day. We don't need to go on international kowtowing expeditions at the moment. That's not a priority. The priority is our citizens. The two wars, getting our economy back in shape, dumping the health care bill for something a lot more realistic and practical that's understandable. This is what we need to focus on. But he's so busy not making decisions, because I don't think he can make decisions. I think he's stuck. And if he was smart, he'd look to some of his advisors, some of those boots on the ground, and say, tell me what to do. But he's not. I don't believe he has military integrity. He doesn't have military experience, and he's got an ego larger than the entire globe. This is the problem. So we're stuck with a leader who will not lead.
Well, you know, no. Okay, so I think what we're doing here, we're kind of winding this up, is that we're a country that's feeling really fragmented. We've had numerous amounts of money for the bailouts for the automobile industry and the banking,
where'd that money go to?
And we're feeling the crunch. Yeah, we're feeling many, many things that make us feel fragmented. But I would like to just say, I mean, call me Pollyanna, that with all this craziness that's happening out there, we're showing up. But today, do something, make an act of kindness, because that's truly what we can do from this moment within our little circle. I don't care if it's whatever it is. Just, we've got to think on that level. Otherwise, we will be a country of mad people. And it's good to be mad, but it's also good to try to make an act of kindness.
Never give up. Never give up. Never accept something that's not right. Never let somebody else intimidate you through their words into doing the wrong thing. Always do what you believe is right. talk to your friends. If the leadership isn't there, then you've got to form in your areas the groups that do the right thing. I mean, it's easy to say that, but it's hard to do. If you disagree with somebody, all of a sudden you're a racist. At what point is Bush going to stop being blamed? It's been a year. It'll be a year in January. When you talk about the wars, and we did this on a radio show, I stopped saying Bush wars. I said the Obama wars. It's the Obama economy. You can blame it. You can say, oh, but it all started. Well, it started 20 years ago or 30 years ago. He's the president. Guess what? For all the accolades he gets, for being the Nobel Peace Prize winner, for probably winning the Heisman Trophy this year, and also the Olympic gold in the sprints. He hasn't done those things yet. Okay. But we can't, you know, it's the fact is that we need the change. We need somebody that stands up there and says, hey, the buck stops here. And I'm ready to make these and make the decisions. Whether we like them or not, make a decision.
I think what the listening audience out there needs to realize is that we've been at war for 8 years. That is not the military at war. That is the American public is at war. Especially for our veterans, we took an oath when we joined the service to protect and defend the Constitution. That oath has never been rescinded, and I know most of the vets do not renounce that oath. It depends on each and every individual out there to realize that they are at war with us. And if we don't stand up and take care of business, this country will not be what it was meant to be.
You're here. And you know what? I can't think of a better way to end the show than.
That's right.
Next week, as you know, is Thanksgiving. And so that we're not going to be here next Friday. But we've got a lot of other things going on that we will be keeping track of with everybody
and,
here.
And hopefully that when you join us a week from Friday, we'll have a beautiful announcement to make that is something that's a very big gift to us and very rich here in the North State. We appreciate you so much. We appreciate Joe and Shelley at Tobacco and Brew and our team. And do you want to make a closing comment? Okay.
Okay.
Let's go there.
I want to know if Carl's going to run for governor.
Yeah, Carl can't run for governor. I don't know if I can't find my birth certificate.
Well, thank you for listening to Free Fire Radio. And again, you can hear us on the archives. We appreciate you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.